so we had to apologize and go on our way. We knew, at least we had heard, that the pastor with whom we'd be working was the type of man who liked to play practical jokes. And so this is what we suspected. And so it turned out that the next day when he asked us, there was a green car. It was across the street, not from the hotel, but from a printing office about a block down. Well, Judy commented to him that she had seen the green car, but there were no keys in it. Well, he told us that they were in the ashtray.
Oh, well, I see that this would really be a problem. At least some people learned something out of it, though. And perhaps that might have added a little bit to what you were teaching people during the caravan. I think we've seen that youth caravans is both an enjoyable and a profitable program. And we've seen that above all, young people can witness for Christ as they share with other young people their enthusiasm, as they share with other young people their abilities, and as above all, they share with other young people their devotion to Christ. In doing this, they help the young people to gain skills in meditating upon God's Word. They help the young people to gain skills in leading one another in Christian recreation. And they share in the fellowship of the communion of saints. For this purpose, for this reason, we feel that the Youth Caravans program of the Walther League is profitable, and that it is one way in which young people, the part of the church of today, can serve in the church of today.
Thank you very much, Mr. Everest, for bringing these young people to our microphone to discuss their role in the church. This is Pastor Walter Grotrin inviting our radio audience to join us again next week for Youth Finds the Way on Sunday, 12 to 1.
The Public Affairs Department of KSB-TV presents Youth Speaks Up. Opinions on manners, morals, and current events as expressed by young St. Louisans. Speaking up today are four seminary students. James Lucena of Kenrick, Hans Frick of Eden Seminary, James Weasley of Concordia, and Arthur Hageman of Covenant Seminary. This afternoon, Youth Speaks Up on Christianity or Communism, which is more saleable. Moderator, Miss Clarissa Stark, author and feature writer of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Miss Stark.
Good evening. What should be the attitude of the Christian toward communism? Should Christians oppose communism or advocate coexistence? Is it the duty of the Christian to sell others on his religion? Is Christianity as saleable as communism? Our four seminary students do not pretend to know all the answers to these questions, but they are going to give us the benefit of some of their thinking on them just the same. Hans Frick, what do you feel should be the attitude of the Christian toward communism?
I would say the first thing is we should try to love our enemies. Maybe this love is difficult. Maybe this love is not our human love. This is a love which is more godly, but I think this is a very important point. Love your enemies.
Jim Lucena, what do you feel should be the attitude of the Christian toward communism?
Well, I think the point that Hans brings out is very good. However, I'd like to qualify that to an extent and say that while we must love the sinner, we must still hate the sin. I think that the people of Russia, those under communist domination, must be loved, and we must show our love towards them. Nevertheless, communism as a philosophy, as a way of life, I do not think is compatible with Christianity.
Mm-hmm. Jim Weasley, what are your thoughts on that subject?
I would say that too. I think that as Christians we have to recognize that communism is something that is anti-religious, and in being this, it makes itself a religion. And it's competing against Christianity, and I think we have to recognize this. We have to be respectful of it, in the sense of realizing a tremendous force it is in the world today, and as Christians prepare ourselves to combat it in the ways which we Christians can.
Mm-hmm. Art?
I hardly know what to say. That I agree with all you gentlemen. Basically, we feel that communism is a mission field. It's a people that we have to go to preach the gospel. They too, because they reject our God and our Savior in Christ, they are a mission field for the gospel. But also we must realize that they are diabolically influenced. Christ said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers, those things beyond our abilities to cope with. Hence, we must consider what Christianity is and how we can, through Christ, meet this diabolical force behind communism, which, of course, is behind all man's sin and problems.
Do you think it's the duty of the Christian, then, to sell the world on Christianity?
Yes, if I could qualify that. By sell Christianity, I mean giving to them the answer to their basic need and problem. That is, that they are, by representation through Adam, sinners. And Christ, of course, came and died for us as sinners. We have then the answer to their need, and we must present it to them as we present it to anyone.
With my German English, a little bit difficult, but I think of it selling, it's a little bit difficult to understand for me. You mean convincing, or what do you mean about selling? This is for me a little bit...
Well, I would use the word preaching, proclaiming. Okay. Rather, it's not a commodity, as we have said.
I wonder, Art, to interrupt you here, whether this proclamation isn't something which we Christians do not only by talking, but today there's a... I think Christians are faced with the responsibility of beginning to live their Christianity more than we have perhaps in the past.
That basic thing, I think, must be brought out constantly. The world of things been brought up against the preachers all the while is, I can't hear what you're saying because of the example that you give. I think that as Christians, we must give good example to other people. We must show other people that what the communists are saying, if they are true in the United States, then many of the things that they do say are true. For example, discrimination against the colored, many of the things that we have, our whole idea of discrimination and prejudice. First of all, we must recognize that fact and admit it as true, but bring it out that this is against our principles. As Christians, we don't favor these things, that we want to eliminate any kind of thing of discrimination, that we love the Negro. We love the Jew, we love every one of these people against whom prejudice is being brought. Then I don't think that communism would have any thing on which to grow, because it is basically a cancer. It grows on the bad situation that is present in the world today.
Hans, I wanted to ask you, that since you are from West Berlin, how is communism and Christianity working out in the East Zone, for instance? Do you feel that the communists are gaining, that they have more to sell, or do you feel that Christianity is still holding its own?
It's a very difficult question, because after all, Christianity is very old, and communism is a new vital movement. And it seems that many people think communism has a new solution to world problems. And I personally believe this is a fallacy, and we have to be patient. I really think one day people will awake and will find out that communism is a half-truth. But
I think this is a good point, and I think in Nazi Germany we saw the same thing. They talked about the fact that if Nazi Germany should fail, then they just couldn't fail, because this was the answer to the world's dreams and everything. And in a sense, perhaps we may see communism fail, but I think that the difficulties and problems we see in the world today help us as Christians to understand the rebellion, the basic rebellion that the world is in against its Lord and God who created it. And communism recognizes this struggle, and maybe we ought to learn a lesson from them. We Americans, perhaps, are too optimistic. We think that we're going to solve all the world's problems here on this earth. And as Christians, I don't believe we believe this.
What do you think the attitude should be toward the Christian and communist countries then? Should we strive for coexistence, cooperation?
Well, we have like attitudes, all Christians, that is, and I might clarify that, all of those who personally know Christ as their Savior. After all, that's the binding force. And that bond of unity is primal and necessary. We have fellowship with them by the nature of the case. We should help them in their particular local problems. I don't feel that we should dismiss their problems. I think we should help them in their problems. For we should realize, as Jim brought out earlier, that we are body as well as spirit, and that they have problems pertaining to their sociological.
I think it's a little bit difficult to understand. But for example, you mentioned fighting in race relations. You mentioned the communist countries are fighting for the Negro rights or so.
I think this is
a very easy job, because after all, in Soviet Russia, there are no Negroes, and this may be quite easy to fight for Negro rights.
Well, the reason I bring that up, you don't necessarily have to believe that the communists are telling the truth when they say, we are for the Negro, or we are for the Jew, or we are for the person who's being discriminated against. They may not be telling the truth, but they are saying it. They are making a good show of it. They are realizing that there is discrimination and prejudice. Now, whether they are telling the truth or not, they are making an appeal to those people. There is an obvious injustice which is being done to these people. As Christians, as is brought out, we are all brothers in Christ, no matter what color, what nationality, what race, Russians, Jews, Negroes, any kind, we are brothers. As Christians, we must bring that out. And if the communists have to bring it to our ideas, they have to say, you are having discrimination in your own country, then as Christians, we must recognize that fact, accept it as a humble thing that we are failing, that we shouldn't be so arrogant, and then go out and try to correct that situation.
Even though it comes from opportunists.
No matter where it comes from, good can come from evil in our source of knowledge. I mean, we must draw good out of that evil.
I think communism is trying to solve or say that the answer to the world's problems is something which lies ahead when they have achieved the ideal communist state, which they don't say that they have today. But I think as Christians, we have a different answer to history. And we say that this is good to remember in Holy Week, that the midpoint of history, the focal point of all history, is the cross of Jesus Christ. And this is the Christian answer to the world's problems, because Christ came to be victorious over sin and over all sorts of injustice, and to offer himself as a savior of mankind.
Might I just add there, Jim, that of course the whole philosophy, if I might use that term, of Christ, his whole worldview is one of complete consistency. That is, he offers the world an answer to origin, purpose, and destiny. Whereas the Russian communism type philosophy offers an answer to a particular situation, but they have nothing to give us as to origin and destiny. Who is to stop the proletarian from being an autocrat, as he claims the bureaucrats or the bourgeoisies are right now? Who's going to change their nature? And that, I think, is their real problem. When they become the powerful force in the world, are they going to overnight change into some utopian type people? Absolutely not. And I think this is where we can put our finger on the real problem, and that is their nature, that they are too sinners and must meet that problem, which their philosophy cannot and has no answer to.
I think we Christians can point out that communism doesn't have an answer to the problem of death, and they recognize this. A recent article on Polish Marxism points out that the communists themselves are concerned that as long as people are dying and loved ones are dying, that people are not going to believe in the communist state, because the fact that death is still there points out that just to be a communist doesn't solve all your problems, because you still have to face death.
But it is so important, I think, is first that people, if they are hungry, they want to live, and they don't think on dying or so. Therefore, I feel it's very important to know that communism gives little steps and helps for many people.
Hans, do you feel that many of the communists are as dedicated to their ideal as Christians are to theirs? Do you feel that they're, that we make a mistake in treating communists, for instance, as gangsters? Do you think some of them are really people who are dedicated to what they feel is the true way?
Yes, I really think so. That quite a number of people are highly educated, and I wonder still why they can join the Communist Party, but that's the fact. And maybe you have heard about this Heinrich Mann, the famous Thomas Mann is his brother. He accepted a job in East Berlin in the communist government, and now fortunately he died in Los Angeles. But this man, coming from the United States, want to work for a communist government. Therefore, I think quite a number of people think communism can be a solution for world problems.
Of course, there are those who say that the early Christians practiced communism, that in Acts they were urged to give unto each as he needed. What do you think of that argument?
Well, I think that if one were to read the scriptures, he would have an answer right there in the scriptures. I think two things should be kept in mind. One is that right in the context of the fifth chapter of Acts, they, of their own free will, were able to do this, which is not the case in communism. As Dr. Schwartz has very definitely said, and I think he has a good point, that communism is tyranny by monopoly. Monopolizes on one's freedom. And then another point there in the Acts chapter, we should consider the end of that type of living. What happened to Ananias and Sapphira? I think the thing stopped quite dead there, and it didn't work.
I think the early
Christians... I'm not going to argue the scripture with you.
I think the early Christians and Christians today, too, if we have a proper sense of where our gifts come from, realize that all of our gifts come from God. They're given to us as a trust, something which we are to use for God, but they're not ours. They don't belong to us. And as Christians, we're not there hoarding them, but we are sharing them, but voluntarily, because of everything Christ has done for us.
I think, too, in that point, when you bring up the communism as given in the time of Acts, we must remember that communism as applied to them and communism as applied to modern-day Russia and the society in China, completely different.
That's
the
right.
Words are the same, but just because the economy of people are living together does not make communism. Communism, basically, down to the root, is a philosophy. Now, a philosophy seems so 5 feet off the ground, but it realizes itself in our acts. A man who does not believe in God will kill any person who stands in his way. The end justifies the means at all times, because Christianity and any religion, Judaism, Mohammedanism, recognize first that the center of man is God. Even your pagan philosophies who looked towards the development of man saw man as the center. But communism looks towards the state, an impersonal thing. And if a man stands in the way, no matter if he's good or bad or what, if he stands in the way of the state, then he can be liquidated just that fast, as happened in Russia when 15, 20 million people get killed just like that. I think there we must realize that if there's any similarities between communism, between the Acts and modern day, we must realize that the dissimilarities are much greater.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that Christianity is subject to criticism or open to criticism? It has been charged that one reason we can't sell our system as well as the communists is that we have perhaps been intolerant in the past. We have looked on other people in too much in terms of we and they instead of looking on it as all being we. What do you think of those charges?
History has proven that. I really believe so. And I think that's one of our greatest dangers, to try and interpret Christianity by Christendom, historic Christendom, and not realizing that real Christianity is Christ within us, the hope of glory, and not so much an outward organization which tries to bring within its folds all types of people and baptize them in the name of Christ without any real choice on their own. from their own freedom.
I think, too, Art, to help you out here in America, what we often call Christianity is almost a development of what many writers are referring to as an American religion. And it has some trappings of Christianity, but there are many elements in it which seem to be very self-centered. We're pushing Americanism. We're trying to sell Americanism. So often everything that's done in the name of America, people say is done in the name of Christianity. But when we really examine the Christian church in the United States, it's perhaps 50% of our people nominally, and oftentimes we wonder how many really truly.
Yeah, in that particular point too, I think I would agree very much with what Art brought out, is the fact that because a person is baptized, just baptized, does not make him Christian. He must be convinced of what he is accepting, that he is accepting Christ, and he is accepting Christ crucified and all that he taught. We must make it a personal conviction and go out and bring that to other people. I think the point that you brought up about is there are other defects in Christianity. I think the two virtues of the true Christian would be humility and love. I think St. Paul brought that out very much in the famous thing where he says, there are two men fighting within me, in which the flesh lusts against the spirit. And he talks about how the sin is going against the virtue within him. He realized that he has sin still within him, yet he tried to become better and better. And I think we must realize that Christianity has not been perfect. It's not, I should not say that. I should say Christians have not been perfect, because as one man has said, Christianity, we do not sin because of our principles, but in spite of our principles. And I think that is a thing that we must realize, that as Christians, we must come up to our, raise ourselves to what Christianity demands.
If we found a perfect Christian, I think we'd find him in heaven.
So I think we should also ask the question, would be communism so effective if Christianity would have done a better job? I mean, because we failed, this means we created communism. So many people turned away from the Christian church.
In other words, maybe communism is a Christian conscience. I think there's some truth to this, Hans. I think that very often that communism can point out where we perhaps have to be very concerned. And we have to be concerned about the 17 million people in the United States who are supposedly hungry every night. And just because some of us may feel that we can't see them, maybe we haven't visited the places in the United States where they are, and here in St. Louis too.
That's very well brought out. I think that communism, when did it arise? During the 19th century, during times when people were impoverished, when social conditions were very bad, when strikes were becoming the thing, that people, man was finally finding his rights as a citizen. These were conditions in which communism arose. It is feeding on new things now. For example, the obvious injustices that took place down in Africa, the injustices that took place in Little Rock, injustices all over the world. That is what communism feeds on.
Including Russia, please.
Including Russia, yes. I think that in this case, we must clean our own house first. Then we can preach to other people. But even that must be on the personal level. I, myself, must make myself a better Christian. Then I can tell my neighbor to be a better Christian. But we must realize that concept of going out, making ourselves better Christians, realizing that we have a definite plan. God put us on earth now, 1961, in this place, in this city, for a definite reason, not 2,000 years ago when he lived, but now. And we must bring Christ, living Christ, to people now. And I think that
should be... How would you go about that, Jim? How would you go about dealing with this problem personally of applying Christ to your life?
Well, first of all, on the level, for example, one of the levels is brought up, Negroes. We must go out and show that we do love the Negroes. Go out and give them a fair break. Go out, give them a chance to work in our stores, to allow them as human beings.
We must treat the Jew and every other person against whom we discriminate.
We must go out and help those people who are mentally defective, those people who can't work for themselves, show that we don't want you dead. We want to show that we are Christians. We realize that you are the image of God, and we want to take care of you.
We want to go over and feed the people who are starving, get them on their own feet. We don't want to have a soup line all the time, but if they are starving now, we will feed them, show them that we believe social conditions should be brought up to the Christian ideal.
That means also you would send, for example, food to Red China, because they are living people who are hungry.
This, I think, is a problem where politics must be brought in. I think the prime example of this is where Dr. Thomas Dooley went in. He went in and told the people in these various places that were under the communists and under the Americans, he brought in food which was marked, made in the United States, given by the United States Navy. The people realized that this was American food given by the American people. In other instances, American food has been sent to nations. The Russians have taken a stamp, put on her, shipped from Russia, given it to the people. And they say, the Russians are feeding us, when it's actually the Americans. I think common prudence, human prudence, comes in also.
Jim, you mentioned Africa, a recent piece in the Christian Century on Congo communism and church. Made mention of the fact that communism thrives on chaos and that the communist very often moves in with new movements and that Christians tend to accept the status quo. Do you think Christians should take a greater part in political upheavals in these various countries?
I wish you had said political upheavals in politics.
Political progress or movements?
I think that the perfect citizen is a man who's first of all the perfect man, then the perfect citizen, and the perfect Christian. All of these are compatible terms. As a matter of fact, when any of them gets out of line, then they become incompatible. But there's no reason why a good Christian cannot be a good politician or a good statesman. Yes, I believe that a Christian should take his Christian principles and sit down at the summit table and argue as a Christian. Yes.
Of course,
I think that both Christianity and communism are revolutionary. And when we say that Christianity comes to a person and Christ, his message was repent and believe, and repent is a word we don't understand, but really it means be changed, become a new person. And the gospel comes to you with a purpose in mind. It's not just to know, but to be changed, to become a new person. And to go out then and live this life. The gospel comes for a purpose.
I'd like to get back to that, something you said before, Art, on non-Christians. That's an expression we often use. Do you feel that that's a mistake, that we should show more tolerance to other groups?
I would say
the expression non-Christian.
Well, I would say tolerance, maybe for terms, but for actuality, we've got to be realists. We've got to recognize that Christ came to set a man against his father and against his mother and brother. And these are explicit statements in the Bible. And he came, though, as one with a solution to this problem. All I'm saying is that there is a problem and that not everyone is a Christian. But Christ came to help that dilemma and provide a way through his atonement.
I think, too, that probably what you're getting at as non-Christians, maybe Christians over against the rest of the world, but we Christians believe that Christ has the answer for all men. And we would certainly be failing if we didn't proclaim this message to them, because we know that here is really the way to true peace and to a true understanding of truth and love and justice through Christ. And if we were to keep this for ourselves and not proclaim it to other people, how could we ever forgive ourselves?
Gentlemen, I have many more questions, and I'm sure you have many more comments. We'll continue this after we're off the air. But now I'm afraid our time is up. We are very grateful to you for having been with us. We hope the audience has enjoyed it. And now here's Cliff St. James to tell us about next week's program.
Coming up next Saturday at 5, high school panelists debate the question, should the UN be significantly strengthened? On Youth Speak Back. Today's guests were four seminary students, James Lucina of Kenrick, Hans Strick of Eden, James Wheezy of Concordia, and Arthur Hegeman of Covenant. Moderator, Clarissa Stark. Director, Harriet Robnett. Youth Speaks Up has been a presentation of the Public Affairs Department of KSV-TV.